Welcome to another edition of Smashville Live Brewhouse South here in Cool Springs. Welcome to the show here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, our third season of Smashville Live. I want to thank all you Predators fans for making it out the last 2 years. We've tripled in size, so we now have almost 25 different shows this year for you guys to come out to. So make sure you find, check the GameNashville.com website for all future dates and locations. So make sure you check that out. I want to thank our great sponsors here, Red Spirits and Wine, New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling as well, alongside Chris Mason, Brian Poyle, and General Manager David Poyle as well. Guys, how are we doing this fine evening? There's a hockey season that starts tomorrow.
We're excited. We're ready to go.
Yep, it's been a long off season as always is when you don't get to your final goal, but training camp was really great. Everybody came back in good shape, good attitude. I think feeling very responsible in terms of you know, what happened last year and what our potential is this year. So I feel really good about our team from the goal to defense to, I would say, some real good improvement on our forwards.
So when you guys are, you know, you look at your team, you're evaluating in the preseason, how much stock do you guys put in? I know, you know, obviously Milwaukee addressing some of the prospects, kind of restocking the cupboards. I think that looked awesome this preseason, the rookie showcase. You know, Daniel Carr comes along. Big offseason signing in terms of a guy that's a proven goal scorer at the American Hockey League. Looks like he's going to get a chance this year. Power play looked good. Dan Lambert came in, got the guys working hard on that, scored some goals. How much stock do you put into the successful preseason?
Well, for me, I think we knew approximately what our lineup was going to be. Of course, you're trying to push for anybody to be better than somebody else that was on your team, so you want to make changes, but only make changes when you can get better. So to me, what we found out a lot about was our depth. I mean, from on every position, starting, as you said, in the rookie camp, we traded for a goaltender, gave up a seventh pick to Tampa Bay to get Connor Ingram, and he looks like a real good young prospect, a guy that I think has NHL ability. On defense, we saw two or three guys really, I think, come out a little bit in terms of having possibilities to play for us. Jared Tenorti, 6'6" defenseman with a real physical element, I think has a chance to, if we want to use that type of player. Jeremy Davies, a defenseman that we got from New Jersey in the PK Subban deal, really stood out to all of our guys. He looks like that modern type of defenseman that can play, you know, that kind of like a Ryan Ellis, but, you know, skate the puck up the ice, offense, really good vision. And forwards, a lot of guys. Rem Pitlick from the University of Minnesota looked good. Tolvanen scored some goals like we wanted to, was in better shape. Anthony Richard got 24 goals in Milwaukee last year, kills penalties. Looked like a guy that could come up and at least play in the fourth line and kill penalties for us. So there was a lot of good things that we saw in terms of where our depth was.
Brian, take us through the process of getting the roster to where it is today. You know, the two-way deals versus the waiver process, the decisions you guys have to make. So maybe take the fans through what a normal preseason process looks like for you guys and how you end up settling on the guys you're going to go into battle with tomorrow night.
Yeah, great question, Braden. First of all, I guess I should start by mentioning that we bring all of our staff in for training camp, so all of our amateur scouts are there, all of our pro scouts are there. So we've anyone and everyone in hockey ops is part of our decision-making process and is there in for rookie camp and training camp. So then how do we get to our roster? How do we decide who's on our for this iteration, our 22-man roster? It's a difficult process. Like we just mentioned, there was a lot of great players, forward, defense, and goalie. And so we start by deciding who we want to keep. And then you mentioned the one-way and the two-way contract. That's definitely an element that comes into play. So for the fans that don't know, some players are just on one-way contracts, just making NHL salary regardless of where they play. Some players are on two-way contracts, and they get one value at the NHL level and another value at the AHL level. And it's a substantial difference between AHL and NHL. So all the more reason why these guys are trying to make it to the NHL, not just to be in the NHL, but also for salary. So all those things come into play. The final piece is the salary cap. So you've got all those things intertwining as well as trying to, as my dad mentioned, trying to put the best players on the ice. So in the case of goaltending, for example, we already had UC Saros and Pekka Rinne already signed up. They're doing very well. We're happy with their progress. Connor Ingram's coming along. Grosnick's good, so those guys will go to Milwaukee. Our goalies will be in Nashville. So that's all good. And then I think the real challenge was with our final set of defensemen and our extra defensemen and our final set of forwards. So that's where we took the longest to go to, and if you guys have been watching our transactions here in the last couple of days, those are the players that were the final cuts. So Tenorti, Salamaki, Gaudreau, Santini, those are the last few guys, and Daniel Carr ends up making our team, hopefully gives us an additional shot of offense into our lineup, so we're excited about that, and we're excited about our whole group.
How, guys, for both of you, how tough are the conversations when you call a young man who's worked really hard, he's done everything you need him to do, it's maybe just not there yet, or he's just not ready, or like you said, there's a salary cap implication, there's a million reasons why you'd make a decision. How hard is that to have that conversation?
Well, the younger guys, it's usually easier. The older guys, of course, it's harder. Like when you're sending down a Salamaki or Freddie Gaudreau that have been here for 2 or 3 years, that's difficult. And again, it's not like somebody's beating them out by a huge, huge margin. It's a little bit of a change in philosophy. As Brian said, we favored Daniel Carr, who we signed as a free agent. We favored him because he was the AHL's MVP, and he got to be the MVP mostly because of his offensive production. So we're thinking when we can use Daniel Carr, insert him in the lineup, whether it's on the first line or the fourth line, that maybe he can bring us a little bit more offense. So that's how that decision went. But the conversations are hard. I usually do that with the coach, and then that goes not too bad. And then, unfortunately, Brian gets the call from the agent. Yeah. So that's the one that takes a long time. So
yeah, it's a tough situation. I think fans know we're dealing with people,
right?
And you know, and some of these players have wives, and they have young children. So I think when we're sending guys down, we also want to let them know that we care about them. And we care about them as people, and we want the best for them. We try to help them out and facilitate their transition down or up, whatever's going on. So it's never easy telling someone they're going down to the minors.
And I can vouch for that. I've been told by David many times that I'm just getting sent down, and he does care. But, you know, when you're courting someone like Daniel Carr in the offseason AHL MVP, obviously there's got to be more teams interested. How does that process work? Who's the one that, you know, brings that name to your attention? Is it Scott Nickel that says, hey, we got to take an honest look at this kid?
Yeah, good question. I think with Daniel Carr or any free agents, it's again that group effort. So all of our pro scouts are watching all the NHL teams and AHL teams all season long, and we identify players that are going to be in free agents upcoming season, and we put a short list together. And then as we get to the end of the season, we see what our team looks like, who's going to stay, who's going to go. Then we narrow that list down further, and then we go after those players in free agency. So Scott Nickel's a good example, our GM in Milwaukee. He'd be watching Daniel Carr quite a bit. Chicago played Milwaukee all the time. Daniel Carr did excellent versus Milwaukee all season last year. So definitely he was part of it, but so were our pro scouts. They did an excellent job. Jeff Kelty as well. So it's a group effort. And then as far as the recruiting process and free agency, it's just like you would see in college football for some of our fans. Or maybe it's just you're doing everything. You're calling the player, you're bringing in the player, you're talking to the agent, you're sending them video and information, trying to show him why Nashville's a great fit.
We are live here, of course, at Brewhouse South. Excuse me, I'm choked up. The season's here. I'm choked up. Smashville Live, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Chris Mason, Braden Gall, Assistant General Manager Brian Poyle, and GM David Poyle here joining us. And I'm going to give a shout-out here to Dale on Twitter, who asked this question, as we ask fans to submit those questions with hashtag Smashville Live on our Twitter account there. And of course, we spent a lot of time talking about the roster and how you get to where you get with a lot of the lower-tier players going to AHL and making all these complicated decisions. Let's talk about Matt Duchesne. He asks, you know, what is the reason, and you've talked about this, David, about enhancing your forward ability to score this offseason was a priority for you guys. And Dale on Twitter basically says, how does the trade, air quotes here, of PK Subban for Matt Duchesne, essentially, how does that enhance the team's chances to win a Stanley Cup?
Well, if you look at all of the statistics and analytics, however you want to judge our team over the last few years, we've always come out right at the top of goaltending, defensive play, penalty killing. And again, the only weak area that we have has been our offense. We need to score more. Obviously, we need to improve our power play. And again, in essence, what we've done is we switched out PK for Matt Duchesne, and again, we wouldn't be able to have done that unless we had a young player like Dante Fabro. So far, so good. Our defense looks really good. It looks like it's very capable. I think we've got Dante backed up really well with veterans like Dan Hamhuis and Matt Irwin and Yannick Weber. And from the offensive standpoint, we've been trying so hard to get two top lines. I mean, it's harder in the NHL to do that. And if we can actually say we have two number one lines, and if we can score like we need to or believe we can with the addition of Duchesne, I mean, we're going to be a tough team to beat. So far, so good. But we've got to see how it works in the regular season, both the top two lines, because they've broken up our best three forwards. In other words, Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson are playing together. They're no longer together. And it looks like Forsberg's going to play with Duchesne and Granlund. So, you know, a little experimentation has to go go along. And then the second part of that, of course, is the power play. And a power play that is average in the league will be unbelievable for us this year.
Yeah, so you talk about the power play. Dan Lambert comes in. He's a big part of it. What goes into the process when you hired him? Was there other people that were interviewed? Who was involved in the interviews? That you guys and Labby? How did that work?
Yeah, it's a process where we involve Labby and a little bit and the other coaches. And again, it's the starting point is what can we do to be better next year? And then we finally got to that point where we wanted to hire another coach, a coach that had offensive tendencies. It seemed like in comparing our bench strength to other teams, they were maybe one coach short. So it seemed to make a lot of sense. As you know, the coaching is so important, and I think these days now it's way more individual attention than ever before. So having Dan here and having him work with that group of forwards and specifically the offensive guys in the power play, I think is time well spent, and it was certainly going to pay off for us a lot. And we interviewed a lot of names. We all, Brian, myself, Jeff Kelty, Peter, we brought different names to the table. We talked to a few different people, and Dan was the guy that was our choice.
Guys, we'll take a quick break here from Brewhouse South as we have Brian and David Poyle here with us. Can I hear it from Brewhouse South, please? There you go. This is Smashville Live. We will be right back. By the way, I want to remind everybody, come out tonight. You can register to win 2 tickets to the October 8th game against San Jose. So make sure you come out and register. We've got a box floating around here somewhere that you can come register. And hey, later on this hour, we'll give away some tickets to a Preds game. And when we come back, we'll get into the start of the season tomorrow and what you guys are looking for to evaluate the team as we get things kicked off here in 2019. We'll be right back. Chris Mason, Braden Gall. This is Smashville Live on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Chris Mason, Braden Gall here on ESPN 102.5 The Game alongside front office extraordinaires. Poilapalooza is what we're calling tonight.
That was a good one. I like that one.
Poilapalooza, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine, of course, our great sponsors, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, New Amsterdam Vodka as well. And guys, we're on the eve of the start of the season. Just how does it feel, when you're this close to the start of another year? You've done all the work to get the team to where it is. I know it's a constant process. Every day you're evaluating everything. But do you allow yourself a minute to take a breath and say, hey, all right, we're ready to go? Like, how are you guys feeling right now?
I'm really excited. I mean, for us, on the management side of things, we don't have the quote-unquote off-season that maybe the players and the coaches get. So we've put in a lot of time in addition to the season and in the off season to get us to this point right now. So we're excited to see all the fruits of our labor, see all the guys and see what we could do. Like my dad mentioned, we've got different dynamics going on with the lines and defensive pairings. They're going to change a little bit. So a lot of things to look forward to seeing and see how it all meshes together.
So, yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say this sort of the same, same thing. I mean, there's no 2 years that are the same. I mean, we've got approximately the same team back, but I guarantee you it's different. I mean, I don't know what it is exactly, but somebody will be better and something will be really good, and then probably something will be a little off. So it's, I've been pretty calm during preseason and just taking it all in and been pretty happy, but I'm sure I'm going to get the butterflies tomorrow night, just like the players do.
Well, you mentioned something in the first segment that really stuck out to me because I think, I've been around the guys and the team a little bit, and it kind of feels different. I feel like the last 2-3 years, the Nashville Predators are a team that could have won the Stanley Cup, among others. I mean, the league's so good. There's probably picked 10 teams that have a realistic chance at winning the Stanley Cup. But what's different about this year? It just seems the guys are a little bit lighter, a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. Is it the dynamic of the team? Is it the fresh start? But I've noticed that same thing around training camp as well.
Well, last year, we had a good year. We got 100 points, and it was a hard 100 points. I mean, it seemed like every game was really, really close, and it was close because the league is close, and it was close because offensively we couldn't put anybody away, and we didn't have a good power play. So it was very stressful or what have you. We spent a lot of time at the end of the season talking to coaches, players, lots of meetings and what have you. And I'll simplify this right down to us. We've got to enjoy the day. We've got to enjoy the process. It's 82 games. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It takes a long time, and we've got to enjoy it, and we've got to really realize that we do have good people and a good team, and our whole goal here is just to get to the playoffs. When we get to the playoffs, hopefully we can take it up a notch.
So you mentioned how long the season is, and I find it fascinating. The evaluation of hockey as a sport is very – like, it's just, to me, it's very difficult. We on a morning drive, by the way, our job is to overreact every morning. That's what we do. You guys obviously can't live that way. So how do you guys evaluate things, players, power play, whatever? Is it a month-long evaluation? Is it a week? Is it 5 games? Is it 15 games? Like, how do you guys go about looking at a player or an issue on a team, good or bad, and say, all right, I've made a decision. I've learned. I've evaluated. Now I feel comfortable with how I feel about something. How long does that take for any given issue or player?
Yeah, Braden's another good question. I think just like everything in life, there's always unique circumstances to define everything. We evaluate things post-game. We evaluate things the next day after a game. We do things on a week segment. We do things on a 10-game segment, both with stats, analytics, scouting reports, meetings, all the above. So it's a natural morphing of how everything goes to be able to say when we're going to make a final decision, how hard, fast is it, that we're ready to move on from this player, ready to give this player another opportunity. Some of it takes place and Chris would know this, in practice. You know, the coaches will try something, put a guy in a line, try a different power player penalty kill situation. So it's, I think our job is to always be evolving and trying different things, little tweaks to get better every day. So when and after we try all those things, there's certain points where we're then ready, okay, this is working, we'll keep it going, or when it's not, we try something new.
And again, every, you know, managers have to be different than the coaches. The coaches are living day to day, and they take the wins, you know, pretty high, and they take the losses real low. I mean, I don't want to say I don't do that, but we have to have more of a longer game plan. I mean, we do so many things in management that are 3 to 5 year plans. That's, you know, contractually, it's specific players, it's money, it's all of those things. So try not to get too high or low, because the coaches are, you know, themselves are already doing that. So we have to have that longer look at things. But the contradiction to that is that you got to be ready to make a decision when a decision needs to be made, whether that's, you know, changing a player out for another player, calling a guy from Milwaukee or what have you, or taking a player off your team. I mean, you have to have that ability to be decisive when it's time to make the decision.
Well, you just talked about contracts, so I would be remiss if I didn't ask about Roman Josi. And just, I this is obviously a captain of the franchise, and, you know, when you look at that negotiation and what's going on, I know you can't get into details of that, but what is the status, and what can you tell Preds fans right now that you're allowed to sort of speak to? I like
Son,
how he passes that one off to his
yeah.
Son, by the way.
I mean, it's probably the same stock answer you've gotten before. The good news is both parties want to get something done, and we hope to do it as soon as possible. Right now we're just still working through that process with Roman and his agent, but the answer is hopefully sooner rather than later.
Awesome. I always have a good answer for all that now all the time. I'm asked, is that we've almost got the deal done. it's just, we just haven't agreed on the years or the amount.
Yeah. about, that's it.
Which is about 98%
yeah.
of
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So the other part of, you know, let's say 3 to 5 year plans, we've been through an expansion draft. We're coming up, you know, on another one. Is that something, obviously, you got a lot of different players, different team philosophies, ways to go about that. Is that something you guys have been working on since you knew Seattle was coming into the league?
Yeah. One thing, they always say, poils are planners. So,
yeah.
Yes, we've been planning for the Seattle draft before Seattle even got a word of the team. No, I'm joking. No, but we do. We do plan for it. You have to plan for it, because we're going to just like with Las Vegas, we're going to lose a good player. So our job is to make sure we lose the best player, but not the player we want to lose. So that's what we're going to have to focus on here the next little bit. So, yes, we are planning for it. We also try to model out what the other teams may have as well. But it's still a little far out, so it's hard to tell exactly where everybody's going to fit. But that'll be another piece for us.
Yeah, so whenever any transactions that we make going forward, that's always one of the questions that we ask ourselves. How does this affect the Seattle expansion? Is that a player that's eligible, that would be exempt? You know, so it goes into your thinking all the time.
You know, talking about contract negotiations, and I'm not talking about any player in particular here at all. I'm just curious. The fans probably don't see the two of you, and like they obviously don't see how the day-to-day operations run during a contract negotiation, whether it was Ryan Ellis or acquiring a free agent like Matt Duchene. Can you kind of give fans insight? Like, are you on the phone every day? Are you sending letters to people? Are you, like, just kind of take the fans through the process of what it actually is like to be in the front office of an NHL franchise working on a contract. Again, I'm honestly not trying to talk about Josi in particular, but just what does that look like for you guys on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, it's a big part of our jobs, getting players signed to the right contracts. And the one, you know, the goal, obviously, of any contract is find a mutually beneficial, mutually agreeable contract. And that's hard to do because a lot of times our interests and their interests aren't always aligned. So what that looks like, again, I would say that you're dealing with people, so agents and players, and everybody does things different. Everybody has a different style. But just to generalize the process, you know, most players are represented by agents, so you're dealing with the agent, so the player would allow the agent to work and talk to us about things. Some want to meet in person. Some want to talk over the phone. Some want to do it over email. Everybody's got a different style and strategy. I definitely like to do it in person because I think, again, it's a people business. I want to look the guy in the eye that I'm talking to. And sometimes they're really short and quick and take some take a long time to do. So they're all different, and they all kind of web and weave along the way. But that's the goal, is to get a good deal that everybody's happy with at the end of the day, that fits our structure and also fits, you know, the value of the player, so everybody wins.
And the Ellis negotiation was a long negotiation. It was Ryan always wanted to be with us, but he also wanted to know a little bit more about our organization and our thinking and his agent also. So it wasn't always just about the term and the money. It was more a little bit philosophy or whatever and how we fit in and, you know, different things like that. So, you know, some negotiations are actually a lot of, I don't want to say fun, but they're really solid and good down there, and others are more difficult.
I've been on the negotiating side with you guys, and one thing I can tell you as a player and a former player for this organization is that we really appreciate the approach you guys take with the players. Have you always been like that? I've been part of other organizations, and a lot of times it's just blunt. It's, you know, cut or dry. The communication isn't great. The emotional relationship isn't really thought of. The families and all those types of things you talked about when you send players. Is this something that you've always done when you're in Washington and Nashville and your whole career?
I hope so. I mean, you got to walk the talk, so to speak. I mean, we're trying to promote a family atmosphere for our team on and off the ice. I love it when people like yourself, you know, retire here in Nashville, and now you're working for us in another capacity, and that's fantastic. We just want to grow the franchise, but it's a people business, and you know, I know sometimes it's hard, and sometimes we have to trade a player and do different things. But I found now that I'm older and I've had a lot of players that retired, that some of the things that happened that I thought were really negative in my days back, say, in Washington, players have actually come back and say thank you for how you treated me and my family, my wife, or what have you. And I think somewhere it's the right way to do it. We don't have to agree all the time, and but it's a people business, so that's what we try to do. And I think, you know, Brian's had a good upbringing in our family, mostly because of my wife. So it's
shout out to Elizabeth, by the way.
So it's been
she's awesome.
So you know, Brian's got great values and is a great people person. So he totally gets it, and I think that's really helps with, because he's doing almost all the contract negotiations now. So that's the way it should be.
Right, and Chris, you know, Chris is the perfect story of it. I mean, hockey is a small fraternity in a lot of ways, and what goes around comes around too. So I think it's important. You should be nice to people anyways, and try to look after them and their families too. But a lot of players have come back through us, whether it's Chris, Scott Hartnell, Dan Hammy's currently on the team. So we treat them right, and they want to come back, which is awesome.
What a novel concept, treating people well and with respect.
2019,
there's hope now.
Different approaches, though. Yeah,
I love it. Yeah. I love it. So let's get to know these guys a little bit more off, I guess I'd say off the ice, out of the front office. I don't know what the proper term is, but let's get to know these guys a little bit more when we come back. Chris Mason, Braden Gall, Poilapalooza here at Smashville Live, Brewhouse South, Red Spirits and Wine, New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. By the way, register for tickets. You can win later this hour. We'll be right back. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Smashville Live here, live at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Red Spirits and Wine, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, New Amsterdam Vodka are wonderful sponsors that make this show possible. Again, check the GameNashville.com website for all future dates and locations, because, again, we're all over the place. Tripled the revenue this year. Tripled the inventory, I should say. Hopefully tripling the revenue.
There you go.
Smashville Live guests for next week, by the way, right here again at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Kyle Turris and Dan Hamus going to join us next week. You can also register to win tickets to the October 8th game against San Jose. We will draw those. In fact, I might put one of you guys to work here and draw a winner out here in just a few minutes. So come up and register for that as well. Chris Mason, Braden Gall, and David Poyle and Brian Poyle joining us here from the front office, GM and assistant GM. David Poyle, this is like your 87th year as general manager, which is impressive as a 69-year-old. have you thought about what it would be like to actually hold the Stanley Cup? Have you, like, do you allow yourself to think about that?
Honestly, yes, yeah. but I haven't.
It's
so
coming.
Got to keep working at it. Keep working at it. This is going to be the year. Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, we're all in it for that reason. It's been difficult to get to that point. I mean, lots of good teams and lots of wins and all that stuff, but just haven't quite got there. So yeah, absolutely, think about it all the time.
That'll be the real Poyle-palooza.
Oh, yeah. The ultimate Poyle-palooza.
Which apparently has already actually happened. Am I allowed to give away industry secret? Apparently there actually was a Poyle-palooza in real life, and there was merch.
That's right.
We got
together with all of our Canadian relatives up in Lake Muskoka this summer. It was great. Got all the kids and grandkids and everybody together. It was a lot of fun on the lake. We had an awesome time. So a lot of players are up there too. It's a huge NHL hockey lake, so it's a beautiful spot. And we celebrated Poyle-palooza. It was awesome.
That's when you see a different side of David, when he's coming and holding the grandkids, walking through the rink. He's just got the biggest smile on his face. Proud papa. Are you a papa?
Bumpa.
I like that one. I like that.
Exactly.
And I've heard you say this before, David, that, you know, that's sort of the thing that you do when you get away from hockey is sort of spending time with family and how important that is to you. And it goes all the way back to, I assume, to the better half who's sitting just over there, your wife, Elizabeth. And tell everybody how you met and how old you were when you met. Tell everybody that story.
I have to do this now. We were next door neighbors. For total accuracy, there was one house in between. And I was 14, and Elizabeth was 13. How about that?
That is awesome.
So, what was the move? Like,
was it love at first sight, or was it?
Oh, I had. Yeah. I had.
Like, hey, you want to play hockey? Like,
I had a move. I had a Honda 50.
Oh, there you go. So you're the big dog on the
hilly street. So I could give her a ride to school on my Honda 50. And then we were actually in the same class, in French class. I was alphabetical order, and I actually sat behind her. So worked out good for me.
That's awesome.
Still working out good for me.
So it's obviously a family business, and you know, your father, I don't know if a lot of people know sort of your father, David, his hockey background, which is obviously just as intense as everybody else. So how what does it mean to work alongside your son and to sort of follow along with what your father did? Just like the whole family business now being ingrained in who you guys are, like, just what does it mean to you guys?
Well, it's obviously very, very special. Again, you know, with my dad was a great hockey guy, and there's a player. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame, so that record speaks for itself. And you know, it was always a little bit different. I mean, I know when I went on hockey trips with my dad, it was always this is Bud's boy. You know, I was always Bud's boy. And then somewhere along the way, it turned, and then I became David's. Here's David's dad.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of good. So I know with Brian, when we talked long and hard about this before it happened. I mean, Brian got out of school, and he worked for, actually, Doug Armstrong, who was the general manager of the St. Louis Blues. He worked in Dallas for a few years, and before he did some other things, and eventually came to us. And I think it was hard at the beginning. We haven't really necessarily talked about this because, you know, it's my son, and I wanted to make sure that he was, living up to the standards that I would want. Not that I had any doubt in my son, but still, I think it was probably a little hard at the beginning. But as it's gone along, I think it's gotten better every year. I hope he says the same thing when he gets a chance to talk. But it's like he's doing a lot more. As you know, Jeff Kelty, we had a change in our hierarchy when Paul Fenton left, and I find it's really good. It's really freed up a lot of my time, or at least my thoughts, and where I devote things, because I've really got good people, meaning, you know, Brian and Jeff working, you know, for me. And so I think we're both growing, and I think I'm hopefully a little bit more hands-off. I mean, I need to know what's going on all the time, but I think and hope I'm giving Brian the ability to be successful.
Yeah, no, it's been really good. First of all, on the same theme of good, really good people, my dad's a really good person, first of all, so he treats everybody in the office exceptional. And, you know, when you work with your dad, you learn a lot more about your dad than you ever did before. I spend way more time with my dad now than I ever did growing up because he was always at hockey, so he wasn't around as much when I was growing up. So that's been really great, but learned a ton. I mean, if you could hand select a GM to work for, it would be my dad. Not just because he's my dad, but he's the longest tenured GM. He's been there and done that through everything. What's really great for me is because I am a little bit younger than him, something will come our way. Braden, you were bringing up different stories and examples of how you evaluate this, or what about this, or when a trade happens. And, you know, maybe because I'm a little bit younger, I may get extra excited or extra anxious about something, and it's the first time maybe I've heard of it or that's come my way, where this is the 30th time it's happened to him. So it's really nice having that sage advice and the ability to see things in different ways and just bounce ideas. And I think the game is getting younger. The players are getting younger. Not that I'm as young as our players, but maybe now it's been a nice balance, too, where I can share some ideas. I've got a 3-year-old son, so I'm getting some experience on the young side again, just so that we balance each other out. So, no, it's been really good, and I think really important to mention here that we also have a lot of other staff inside of our hockey ops department that are all part of the process and are all part of our team and the management team. And without all those guys helping in all these different departments, we couldn't do our jobs nearly as well.
You need to stay current, and I think with, you know, younger people, as Brian is saying, and Brian specifically, it is a different generation, and you know, you got to stay fresh. I mean, I've been in this a long time, so I got to look myself in the mirror, and you know, you look at different guys and how they come and say, have they lost touch or what have you. So I really try to stay in tune with the players, because I'm the only person that's getting any older. You understand what I'm saying? Because the players are the same age every year.
Yeah.
And you've got to, it's not reinvent yourself, but you got to stay current. I mean, there's so many things. Like, I didn't go to school with, you know, computers and, you know, all these people are so
social media and all this
all
stuff.
All these tech savvy and different things, the way we do things, produce things, the information that we trade amongst each other. There's so many things. And again, I mean, this is why, you know, Brian went to college and still had the hockey background. So it's been fabulous to, I mean, he's saying the right things to them as dad, to say he's learned a lot. But I'm telling you, I've learned a ton from Brian every day, because he has a different outlook on it, and it's a different generation. And I try to understand that the best I can and make sure that I'm being as fresh as I can.
Are you guys pretty good about leaving it at the office? It's like, you ever been at Thanksgiving dinner and mom, you know, mom's over there going, guys, all right, seriously, stop talking about Tolvanen's development, okay?
Yeah,
like,
no more hockey.
This is turkey and football. Like, cause there's a lot of holidays, right, during the hockey season. Are you guys pretty good about that? Or have you ever had moments where, you know, maybe mom had to say, all right, guys, settle down?
I think Chris said it best earlier. The grandkids have helped that a lot, I think.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't think there is any on or off switch. I think we talk about hockey all the time in amongst a whole bunch of other things, but there's always something going on, so I don't think it's ever an off switch. But I do think having grandkids running around definitely helps that process for sure. And desserts also help out a lot.
Exactly.
So I always wonder this too, about when was the point in your life where, because I know you went to Northeastern, captain of the team, you were a sniper back then, put a lot of, I think, 1 year professional. Yeah, he's a big time goal scorer. I looked up yours. One game at Boston College, so you grew playing up, you played growing up.
Right.
So when did you know, or when did you decide, hey, this is the path I'm going down?
Well, for me, I went to the Vancouver Canucks' first training camp in the NHL, and then they sent me to Seattle Totems, which was their minor league team, and then they sent me to the third tier, Fort Wayne, and it was like getting worse and worse, and I loved hockey, but I realized then I wasn't going to be able to play. I was, for whatever reason, I mean, I played it all my life, but I was good with it, because I did as good as I could do, and I was ready to move on to the next step. So I don't know if that happens to everybody. I mean, it must have been hard for you to retire. I'm sure of that, but I really. Maybe I was a manager in training. I sort of felt I was maybe all along.
Yeah, and for myself, I mean, I think a lot of my upbringing was in Washington, D.C. when my dad was with the Capitals, and back then they did not even have high school hockey. So my exposure to high-level hockey wasn't the same as maybe some other kids, certainly guys on our team. So I think I apexed at the men's league in Nashville was my best NHL chances there. So, no, it's been great. I think for me, my parents, both my mom, my dad, both my sister and I always told us that education was always first. So I played a lot of sports. I still love playing hockey, but no one's ever considered offering pay me to play hockey, so I knew I was going to have to find another path.
Guys, David Poyle, Brian Poyle here on Smash for Life, Chris Mason, Braden Gall. We'll take our final break. We'll come back, and we'll look ahead at the start of the season, and maybe what we can expect from this squad moving forward here in 2019. Braden Gall and Chris Mason here. Special thanks to Red Spirits and Wine, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, New Amsterdam Vodka. This is Smash for Life at Brewhouse South on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Poilapalooza, I guess part two. Poilapalooza part two. Chris Mason, Braden Gall here. Our wonderful sponsors, Red Spirits and Wine, New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Again, we will be back here next week, October 9th. Again, check thegamenational.com for all future dates and locations. We'll be back at Brewhouse South. Hammer and Kyle Turris going to join us next week. Myself and Hal Gill, so gonna have a lot of fun. If you don't mind, can I put you to work, guys?
Sure.
And have you maybe pick out a winner, and you can say, "Hey, I gave some tickets to a fan for the game on October 8th." So we'll draw that here momentarily. Had a bunch of people come by and register. Before we do that, I want to ask you guys real quickly. Here's the box. Okay, this is an on the fly change here. All right, so David, if you don't mind. Reach in. Let's pull out a winner, and we'll announce who's going to the game against San Jose on October 8th. This is Ryan Frank has won two tickets. You do not have to be here, but Ryan Frank will get two tickets. Reach out to the folks there at 102.5. So way to go, Ryan. Two tickets to
Frankie.
San Jose game. That's awesome, man. All right, so you guys have been in hockey a long time. You have obviously philosophies that you operate with and how you build a winner, and you've won a boatload of games, more than anyone else in the history of the sport, David. And is, in fact, being in last place in January, firing your coach, and using a rookie goaltender the new motto to winning a Stanley Cup? Or do you think that's just a one-off thing?
Please let that be a one-off.
Yeah.
that's an amazing story. I mean, I guess you never say never, though. It's just you just don't know in this sport. There's so many comebacks in all sports, but that one is that's almost unheard of.
Yeah, that was like lightning in a bottle, I think.
Incredible story.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of the fans, they look at the team and they use the word window, and I'm sort of, after St. Louis last year, I just say, you know what, there's no such thing as a window. You just got to play hard every night and hope that the roster's where it's supposed to be, the coaches do their jobs, and the players execute. I just think after looking at last season as such a bizarre anomaly that, you know, the Capitals are supposed to be done, right? And then all of a sudden, they're not the best team in the league, and then they win the Cup. So it's you just never know, and it speaks to how insanely difficult playoff hockey is to predict.
Well, I spoke with Doug Armstrong, you know, after they won, and I've talked to him a few times, and you know, and just shooting the breeze, and I said, well, what do you think happened or what have you? And he said, well, I'm not really sure, but he says what he learned from one of his mentors was that it's so difficult to win because there's so many things that go into it, you know, a little bit of luck for sure, you know, injuries, guys peaking at the right time, a bad break, or any number of things. But if you can just get your team year after year, as many times as you can, to get into the playoffs, to give yourself a shot, one of those times it's going to work out for you. And really, I've sort of had that without saying that, but it's just what I said to you earlier. I mean, we're not trying to say, I mean, of course we're going to try to get in first place, but we're trying to make the playoffs. And if we make the playoffs, I think we have a chance to, we do have a chance to win the Stanley Cup. And that's really what our only goal is this year.
Have you found, too, like, I don't know what's changed about this, but it seems like the last few years, home ice isn't what it meant to be. So obviously you want to win the division, you want all those things, the President's Trophy and all this stuff. But it almost seems like, for whatever, maybe the pressure is so great, Tampa Bay. Prime example, that was shocked the world. But a lot of these teams that come in, home ice, it just isn't, you know, every building's hard to play in, but for whatever reason, it seems there's more pressure on the home team now.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think this year we got to find a way here in Nashville to make Smashville hard to play against, and our team's got to do it. But, Chris, you're 100% right that home ice at last two playoffs has not meant what it used to mean, and that's very interesting. I think to Braden's point earlier, I mean, just with the cap where it is and teams are so competitive, I mean, I think that's why hockey is one of the best sports in the world to watch. Obviously, I'm biased, but I mean, how many fan bases believe they have a chance to win the Stanley Cup this year? I would say the majority of them do, and they actually do, and St. Louis is a great example of that. So you're right, it's not what it used to be, but I think that's still our goal because we believe deep down that, that playing in front of you guys, our fans sure matter.
I'd like to make it more dominant for sure. I mean, if you told me that you're going to have a 500 season, then I want all the 41 wins at home. But it's not like last year we started off the year. We won 8 straight on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, that never happens. That's
so hard to do.
Phenomenal to do. And then we struggled a little bit at home where we have great confidence. It's not like we lack confidence, but the preparation and the closeness of the league, it's just pretty even everywhere now.
When you look around the division, listen, Colorado's young. They're getting better. Dallas, obviously, is upgraded in the offseason and obviously a very physical team last year in the postseason. You know, Chicago's not. Somehow, some way, Chicago's still holding on. they're figuring out ways to manage the cap. But what have you seen from the evolution of the Central Division over the years, just the last 4 or 5, in terms of growth, depth, talent, style of play? Like, how has that division changed?
The best division in the National Hockey League, fortunately or unfortunately. And if you want to break the schedule into a mini schedule, it's how you're going to do in your division this year that it's going to determine whether we make the playoffs or not. And that goes the same for every team in our division. If we're not successful in our division, there's not a chance that we'll make the playoffs. It's going to come down to that. So it's just I know everybody has to do predictions, but I don't want to make any predictions on our division. I think everybody's good.
Yeah.
I think everybody has a chance. I mean, Colorado's up and coming, as you said. Dallas beat us in the playoffs last year. St. Louis has won the Stanley Cup. Chicago is getting better. They're getting some younger players into the lineup, so
it's tough. It's like murderer's row in the Central Division.
Jeez, I'm getting nervous now.
So I got to ask you too. This is a huge thing, and I just want to know how excited you guys are for the Bridgestone Winter Classic this year in Dallas. This is like, you know, we had the All-Star Game, obviously the Stanley Cup run, and now you guys are going to Dallas for the first ever Winter Classic for the club. That's pretty huge.
Yeah, no, I think it's great for our franchise. We're so excited. I mean, just to put us on that national stage, you know, on the first of the year, that's going to be fantastic. For myself, I'm going to need to take out a small loan because I used to live in Dallas.
And oh, no.
My in-laws live in Dallas, so it'll be a great family time, too, for my side. So, no, we're really looking forward to it. I think the Cotton Bowl will be a really neat venue. Just all the history that's there, I think it's going to be really exciting. And then, obviously, from NBC, they couldn't have wrote a better script by the two teams just having played in the playoffs last year. I think our games versus Dallas will be more intense than ever before leading up to the Winter Classic, so I think the fans are in for a real treat.
And the fans have been exceptional, too, purchasing tickets at an alarming clip. So the Preds fans, once again, doing their part in this. I went to a Texas-Oklahoma game when I was, like, 12 years old in that building, and it's one of the coolest places to watch a big-time sporting event like that. So I think there's a lot. You can tell the fans are ready to get there and celebrate New Year's Eve in Dallas for sure.
It's going to be a blast. And like you just said, I think 25,000 of the tickets that are sold have been sold to Nashvillians. So that's going to be awesome representation for sure. It's going to be really neat.
And I know, too, with the gold, and I'm sure you guys travel all the time, it just stands out. We're way up there in the booth, and you look down, and you see all the gold jerseys, a lot of them, you know, together at warm-up. But it's just we have such a good representation that travels with the team now, I'm sure. That must say volumes about how far this organization has come.
No, you're right. You see it right from warm-ups. You know, just all the fans that come down when they're traveling, they rim the warm-ups and on our side right away. And I think our fans are traveling better all the time. Which is great because Nashville is such a fun city for visiting teams to play in, so it's good that we're traveling so well, too.
Guys, I want to remind everybody, tomorrow stop by Pete and Terry's at Bridgestone Arena as 102.5 The Game will be broadcasting all day. That's right, Morning Drive. We'll start there at 6 a.m. with your chance to win Preds tickets to tomorrow night's home opener against the Minnesota Wild. I would say I can't believe that the season is already here, but days go by at the exact same rate every time, so it's very believable. Doors open at 7 a.m. for the public. Free coffee and donuts available. C-Mace, that's all you need, dude.
There you go.
Free donuts
I'll
and
be there.
Coffee. Also, Smashville Live guests next week right here at Brewhouse South, of course, will be Dan Hamuse and Kyle Turris, so make sure you check that out next week as well. Fellas, any final feelings before the season gets started at all?
No, we appreciate you guys having us on. I think, Brian, it's the first time we've ever done something like this together, so proud that we're doing it with you, my son, and let's win something together.
Yeah.
No, we're really excited. I think our fans are going to be really excited for the season, and I think we're going to see some guys have breakout years. I think we got some players that have a chance to beat some Nashville Predators regular season records by chance. I think we have the chance to see some offensive numbers we've never had before. I'm really excited to see your brethren and Pekka Rinne, see what he can do. He's the ageless wonder. So I think there's just so many things for our fans to be excited about this year. I think Matt Duchene for our fans to see. He's wanted to be in Nashville for a long time. So really excited for the upcoming season.
Yeah, after the two-year-long courtship, it's here. And tomorrow night, he's on the ice. So
yes,
it's going to be a ton of fun, of course. Pregame, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and puck drops at 7, so check it out. C-Mace, obviously, thanks for coming out. David and Brian Poyle, thank you guys so much for giving us a few minutes of your time. We do appreciate it. Fun to talk to you guys, and wish you guys the best of luck moving forward this year as we get things kicked off tomorrow. So
thanks, Braden. We look forward to hearing what we overreact
yes,
to tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Don't go 0-3 on the power play tomorrow night, because then Friday morning we're going to have to talk. It's going to be a ton of fun. We're ready to go. Special thanks, of course, to Red Spirits and Wine, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, New Amsterdam Vodka as well, our great sponsors here for Smashville Live as we kick off our third season of this event. We could not do it without you great Predators fans, so we do really appreciate it. That's it, boys. My name's Braden Gall. His name's Chris Mason for the Poyles here at Smashville Live at Brewhouse South. Everybody have a great evening. Tune in tomorrow, 6 a.m. Morning Drive. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.